College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard, who has the consensus favorite in the Big Ten Conference. Wants you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. The season is right around the corner. You want to subscribe to this podcast and make it your Bible for the sport. And again, we're coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And I also want you to send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's show is brought to you by Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low price. But low quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Good shave, good price, it's simple. Get the best of both with Harry's. Harry's starter set is a great option. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shaving cream, and three of Harry's five blade German engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code HOOPS. Go to Harry's.com right now and look for the Truman Set. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code HOOPS at checkout to get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Now that we've got you all set for your shaving needs, our focus turns to the Wisconsin Badgers. I mentioned how this team is the consensus favorite in the Big Ten Conference this year, and when you look at what they return, it's hard not to be aligned with that line of thinking. The Wisconsin returns 99.7% of its scoring from last year's team that went to the Sweet 16. And what a difference a year makes for Greg Gard. A year ago, he entered the season as an assistant under Bo Ryan. Then we see Wisconsin really in the middle of Big Ten play all of a sudden turn things to a different gear. But Wisconsin had a very disappointing loss in the Sweet 16 against Notre Dame. Badgers led by three with 28 seconds to play. It was a very un-Wisconsin-like meltdown down the stretch. So we're obviously going to get into that. Also, going to get into what Nigel Hayes did over the weekend. If you were somehow, you know, in a cave over the weekend, didn't see what happened, Nigel Hayes showed up on television, on ESPN game day, okay, and held a sign that said, broke college athlete. How does Greg Gard feel about Nigel Hayes' actions, and what does he foresee in his crystal ball for the Badgers in 16-17? We'll find out when we return. Greg Gard joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. All right, Wisconsin is the consensus favorite in the Big Ten heading into this season, and their head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. He is Greg Gard, and Greg, there's an old saying that what a difference a year makes. How much a difference has 12 months made for you personally?
Well, it's been obviously a complete flip upside down and then back up again in terms of where we were or where I was even personally 12 months ago, so I've had great support around me, both personally and professionally, and obviously our team did a terrific job last year of righting the ship and getting things back on track, and was looking forward to continue to try to improve. I mean, I think our guys have gotten better in the off season and physically, and also skill levels have improved, so hopefully our experience from last year, both what we did well and what didn't go so well at times, we can learn from and be able to take advantage of that this coming year.
You did an unbelievable job last year stepping in at the midway point for Wisconsin, but I'm curious, one thing you didn't have last season was a preseason. How much of a difference does that make for you?
Well, it's made a huge difference from a standpoint of last year we had to kind of pick out the most important things and really boil it down to a few simple things and quickly move. because obviously we were had a few days to prepare before the Green Bay game, and then we were quickly into the Big Ten season. So this year we've been able to kind of inch our way through it, go back and revisit areas that we need to really polish up and refine. And then obviously it's given us a chance also to, you know, experiment with new things, you know, look at different lineups, different combinations, and then obviously just continue to try to improve in all those areas. So definitely having more time, we've been able to kind of widen the net, so to speak, of the things we can cover.
And you definitely widened the net last year in terms of the teams that you beat, especially with what we saw in the second half of the season in Big Ten play. You were 9-9 overall and 1-4 last January after you lost Northwestern on January the 12th. You finished 22-13. What changed after that game in Evanston?
Well, I think the change, John, was taking place before that. I think there was some things that with habits that guys were getting better at. They were starting to learn from their mistakes. The experience level was going up. You know, we had lost so much from the year before, and then we were really kind of directionless early in the year. And once I think they got some confidence going in practice and they started to play into better habits more consistently, I saw things happening in practice that I thought we were heading in the right direction. It was just a matter of getting some confidence and having something go right in a game where they could really put a stamp on what they were doing, and for them it was a reaffirmation that everything that they were working on was right. And then once that happened with the Michigan State game, I think it just kind of snowballed from there, because it gave some credence to how they were going about things and that they were doing headed the right direction.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned the word habits, and when I think of Wisconsin's program, both under you last season and obviously under Bo Ryan, that's the word that I think about, habits, and not beating yourself. And that's why I thought the interesting thing and the unfortunate thing for you guys at the end of the Notre Dame game in the Sweet 16 was it might have been the most un-Wisconsin-like 28 seconds that we've seen in a decade and a half. How hard was it considering the take that you lost that way?
Well, I was never comfortable with our ability to value the basketball all year. I thought we got better, but it was one thing that I thought our staff and myself always pointed to, that we were not where we needed to be. Had we improved? Yes. Had we finished off some games by executing the right way down the stretch? Yes. But I was never comfortable that we were to an area where we needed to be. We were always one, two, three turnovers too many. And obviously that showed itself there in the last game with how we finished that out and games that we had iced and kind of salted away at the free throw line in the past. Obviously, we didn't do that with our ability or inability to take care of the ball. So I don't think it was something that was – it was something you're obviously upset with, but it was also something we knew that we had not taken the strides far enough in that area in order to avoid that type of situation.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard joining John Rothstein on the College Hoops Today podcast. Badgers, the consensus favorites in the Big Ten heading into the 16-17 season. Wisconsin had the Big Ten preseason player of the year announced last week. He was Nigel Hayes. And Nigel also, coach, made some big headlines on Saturday when he showed up on College Game Day with a sign that said, "Broke College Athlete." I'm curious, did he discuss that with you prior to him making that type of demonstration on Saturday?
No. I found out about it after the fact. So, you know, and obviously with all of citizens' statements or rights to be able to state what they want, obviously there's a lot of freedom of speech and everybody has their opinions on things. And that's fine. You know, obviously with what has been trying to take place in terms of student athlete experiences and their welfare with, you know, cost of attendance and meals and things like that have been improved over the last few years, definitely support those. But obviously at the same time, we know that there's always things that can be improved upon. So, but also I understand, you know, with Bronson's situation of going to the North Dakota pipeline, with Nigel's, you know, activity in Black Lives Matter, both very important social activism roles, that they don't, just because they're student athletes, don't lose their rights as citizens. So we support them obviously with whatever they choose to do. And I definitely am in favor of what's taken place here recently with the NCAA's, you know, more freedom with the meals. The cost of attendance, I think, has really helped. And I think things are headed in the right direction.
You know, Greg, I understand that, you know, you're molding young men and everybody should have the right to speak up on certain issues, but you're preparing a team right now that brings back 99.7% of its scoring. You're trying to win a Big Ten championship. At what point do events like we saw Saturday and how they snowballed over the weekend become a distraction for the main task at hand, and that's winning a Big Ten championship?
Well, I think that's a fine balance of when we have to have everybody focused in on what we're doing as a team and making sure that it's not a distraction or a disturbance to the rest of the group. And I think we've been okay with that. I think our team has been fine with that. And obviously as we get closer to the season, we'll have to lock in even more, but there's always going to be areas where there's going to be an opportunity to make a statement on something. And if these men feel that it's important at different times to make their own case known, then obviously as they discuss it with us and feel that it's important for them to make any type of statement, then we support that, as long as it's within the regulations and rules and everything, and they're not putting themselves in harm's way, obviously with any type of action that could jeopardize their safety or anything like that. So it's a fine balance. You know, it's the day and age we're in right now. Social media has changed the culture so much, and obviously knowledge and activism rights have changed so much. And I think there's just everybody has become so much more worldly, and I think there's a lot of positives in that as we go forward. Obviously, finding the right balance of when it is just a distractant, obviously, is always the main question. So I'm okay with where we're at right now. This group has continued to work hard. I like the way they practice. I like the way they come focused every day. So whatever they do on the outside with their own time, obviously, is their business.
How has Nigel changed from a freshman till now, just as a person, not as a basketball player?
Well, I think he's used his knowledge base, and he's tried to expand he's used his college education for something more than just being a basketball player. And when I've spoke with him on all of his viewpoints on Black Lives Matter and the statements he's made there, his understanding of the history of issues and his knowledge base is outstanding. And I think that's really where you always ask individuals, okay, why are you doing this? And what's the thought process behind this? And have you thought it all through? So that's from that standpoint, I think Nigel has really, he's wise well beyond his 21 or 22 years of age. So he understands the world issues. He's taken a stance on those and things that he feels are very important to him. And you obviously support that. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just making sure as they take steps forward on these platforms that they understand all the cause and effect, and they have their depth of knowledge needs to be well-versed, so they understand what's the history of it. Same thing with Bronson that we sat and talked about before he went to North Dakota, knowing what you were getting yourself into, what is the history of it, why are you doing this, and just to make sure that they understand the big picture of the whole process.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Badgers, the consensus favorites, heading into the Big Ten in 16-17. You know, this isn't the first time in the last couple of years that Wisconsin has begun a season with expectations. How does the feeling around this team compare to the feeling you had prior to the 14-15 team following that Final Four run for the first time?
Well, I think the one thing is that in both groups, and primarily in every group we've had here, they understand there's a process to this, and that we aren't going to be able to fast forward into February or March, and in doing so, not take care of some small important steps along the way. And I think that's been the one of the keys to our success, is that we haven't tried to leapfrog important responsibilities as we go through this. And they understand they aren't worried about what happens in March or February. They're really concerned on trying to practice well, get ready for our non-conference season, and play from there. So they've been very good about staying in the moment, and I think that's really been a key. You can't get worried about what happens or what the forecast are or how we're picked or those type of things. Really, to our players, that's trivial. They understand we have to go through this day by day and week by week, and there's a long ways before we get to any type of postseason or conference championship run or anything like that. We're not there yet. We've got a long ways to go. We've got a lot to improve upon. If we take the right steps, hopefully we can be in the mix down the road, but we're not at that point yet, mentally or as a team, to be able to play at that level.
But you have two guys in Hayes and Bronson Koenig that have played on that level and have played in multiple Final Fours, and I understand why they're getting a lot of the bold print, because I think they're two of the top five players in the Big Ten, but it amazes me how few people are talking about Ethan Happ and what he did last year as a freshman. I mean, Coach, this guy was a technician in the post in his first season of college basketball. As somebody who has coached great front court players like Frank Kaminsky, among others, where does Happ rank, you think, with his potential and what he showed last season?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he knew all the things that he needed to get better at last year, and he's worked on those things in the offseason. He's better physically. I think having that year of experience, a typical freshman year where he was up and down, sometimes within the framework of the same game, that he's taken an approach to improve those things in the off season. He's gotten bigger, he's stronger, he's in better shape. He's worked on different skill sets that he needed to improve upon, and he's tried to make what he was good at even better. So he's not worried about, nor am I, how he compares to any of the other guys we've had. He just understands. He's trying to do all he can do to make our team as good as possible, and that's always the attitude and the approach we like to have our guys take, because when you have a successful team, then all those individual accolades usually follow suit. It doesn't happen the other way around. So I like how he's really improved. He's bigger. He physically looks like he's, you know, spent 2 years here now, and really excited about where he can be. And I know the level of competition with the other guys has helped him. It's helped push him. We'll be more than a three-person team, that's for sure. And I'm excited about where the potential of this group is, because I see, you know, flashes of other guys starting to emerge, and just a matter of how well can we become as consistent as possible, and how fast can we become as consistent as possible, because we're going to have contributions from a lot of different places. And that's the nice thing about having this experience and depth back, is that guys have had a taste of it. They understand what it takes, and it's a very hungry group right now.
Well, if you're not a three-man team, aside from Hayes, Koenig, and Happ, who of your returning guys do you feel has made the biggest jump since last season?
I think Alex Ilikainen probably physically has taken a jump. I think the experience Iverson got was tremendous for him. I think our two freshmen, Ford and Trice, have really hit the ground running. Obviously, you throw in Van Vliet and Pritzel, guys who didn't play last year. I mean, across the board, I think everybody has taken a step forward. Who's really going to emerge? We'll play that over the next few months, how each individual handles their role, how they, you know, jockey for playing time, how they handle the competition, how they handle adversity. All those things will be played out yet here in the preseason. Like I said before, we've got a long ways to go in terms of really establishing our identity and how we want to continue to play. They're starting to get a grasp of it, but how they all put the pieces together and they fit together and they stay on the same page will be the challenge as we go forward. And I really like what I see. I see a lot of potential with this group, but we also haven't done anything yet. So that's a fancy word for, you know, potential is a fancy word for having not done anything yet. And but I know they're excited. They'll by the time we play a game, November 11th, I think we had a few before that with the exhibition and the scrimmage. By the time we hit the 11th, I think they'll probably be tired of playing each other in practice. It's gotten a little competitive. There's been a few tussles, which is good. I mean, it keeps pushing everybody's bar a little bit higher, and that, as a coach, is what you like to see.
Well, and another thing, too, this group is going to have to be ready for combat, you know, as much as any team in the country over the first 2 months of the season, because the Big Ten's going to be the Big Ten, and it's going to be brutal. It's going to be a long Big Ten winter, but you're on the road at Creighton in the first week of the season as a top 30 team. You have three games in Maui. You host Syracuse, you're at Marquette, and you're hosting Oklahoma. I mean, that's seven games against teams that are legitimate. I mean, this has got to be, you know, one of the best non-conference schedules you guys have had at Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of good ones. I don't know. I don't have the other ones in front of me, and obviously how it plays out will always tell you how good it was. I think the nice thing about playing this diverse of a group or group of teams in the non-conference is it'll help prepare us better for the league. And that's really goal number one is to try to win the Big Ten, and you use that non-conference. Obviously, you want to win every game, but we've got to use that and those experiences to help get us ready for what's coming in late December, January, February, and March. So that'll really be the focus here. Obviously, we'll attack each one with the right vigor and with the right frame of mind, but I think we're going to learn a lot. And we'll know a lot more about our team by the time we hit December 27th in that first Big Ten game than what we do right now. And I think that's these type of games help you with that. I think we have to sometimes grow on the fly, and hopefully there'll be a lot of positives come from it, but I know there'll be some things that won't go our way that we'll have to learn from. And how well and how quickly we do that will determine how well we're going to be prepared for what comes in league play.
You know, all assistant coaches say that when you slide over 6 inches and become a head coach, your world changes. What was the biggest thing that you saw last year as a head coach that you had to undertake that maybe you didn't or weren't aware of when you were an assistant?
It wasn't anything that I wasn't aware of, but it was the off-season, all the off-season requests, speaking engagements, charity outings, golf outings, appearances, all those type of things that I knew about. But it's one thing to take the request. It's another thing to, you know, write them all in your calendar. It's a whole different world to live the calendar. And I think that's been the biggest thing, is just how to manage your time, manage your energy, learn to say no, understand that you have a primary focus of your team. And that's probably been the biggest adjustment, just of living that. And I've been through the bulk of it now. That was all in the spring, summer, and early fall. The basketball piece of it really didn't change a whole lot, other than you get to make all the decisions and you understand they begin and end with you. But the biggest thing was the off the court or the off season type of schedule that I had. That was a little. It took an adjustment to really take a deep breath and say, all right, here's how we have to attack it. That would probably be the biggest thing that I felt was the most challenging.
Final thing here, Greg, you were Bo Ryan's top assistant for a long time. How are you similar to Bo as a coach? How are you different?
Well, I think the philosophical beliefs behind what he felt was good basketball and what I feel is good basketball are probably very similar. And they're really pretty ingrained in some simple principles of being pretty good defensively, taking care of the ball, getting good shots, all those things. And that's universal probably across any coach or coaching staff. Differences, obviously, you look right to, you know, there's a 25-year, you know, age difference. So it's a generational thing. Maybe I have kids that are about the age of some of my players, maybe a little bit younger. So I understand the communication, how all that has changed over the years, how trust and gaining trust is really vital to open doors to communication, and how important relationships are. And I think that's just, you know, I have an advantage because I have kids that age. You know, and I understand how the world has changed so much, how the social media has changed everything, and they're exposed to so many more things that maybe they weren't 20, 25, 30 years ago. So that's there's probably not anything different other than we're just, you know, we're in a little different era and the millennials approach and see things a little bit differently, and you have to adjust your communication level. And everybody learns in a little different way. Everybody communicates in a little different way, and it's your job as a coach to try to figure all those things out.
Well, Greg, we know now for sure, because you've confirmed it, that you've got a loaded calendar. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join us today, and really looking forward to covering your team throughout this season. Stay healthy, and I'm sure I'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, John.
We'd like to thank Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. Again, the season is right around the corner. We want to be your Bible for college hoops as we progress and get you set for the 16-17 season. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. I'm going to answer your questions. If you have more, send them to me. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Chris Allen, and it's, John, where will St. Bonaventure finish in the Atlantic 10? Look, I think Jalen Adams is one of the best-kept secrets in the sport, but I think that St. Bonaventure still looks like it's outside the top tier of Rhode Island, Dayton, VCU, Davidson, and potentially LaSalle. Our next question comes from Sterling Sterling Archer, and it's John. What is Mississippi State stealing this season? I think when you look at Mississippi State and you really split the atom, and you evaluate the recruiting class that Ben Howland has brought into Starkville, the best recruiting class in the history of Mississippi State basketball, I think it would be unrealistic to expect Mississippi State to compete for an NCAA tournament berth this year. I love their freshman class, especially guys like Tyson Carter and Eli Wright and Mario Kegler, but I think this club is a year away from being in contention for an NCAA tournament berth. Now, the one thing Mississippi State did not have last year was legitimate depth. I think that will change to some extent this year. I think this group should be a 500 caliber team in an SEC conference that, let's face it, is a bad league. The SEC is a bad basketball league. It's Kentucky and it's everybody else. And I wrote this in my column this week on Monday, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Kentucky is to the SEC what Tom Hanks was to the movie Castaway. They're on an island by themselves. Some news and notes right now from around the world of college basketball. Took in a couple of practices last week in North Carolina. The big thing that stood out to me after watching the Tar Heels practice, big man Tony Bradley, the freshman, I believe, will be Carolina's third post player this year in the rotation behind Isaiah Hicks and Kennedy Meeks. Was really impressed with Tony Bradley. Liked what I saw from NC State, especially Torin Dorn, the transfer from Charlotte. I think Mark Gottfried got a steal in Torin Dorn. He has a chance to start on the wing. Again, averaged about 12 points and 4 rebounds 2 years ago for Charlotte. I also saw Wake Forest. Wake Forest, to me, is a year away from being a legitimate threat in the ACC. Danny Manning told me when I was at practice last Friday that he anticipates bringing back 8 of his top 13 players next year. I think Wake Forest has a chance to be a top 30, top 40 team a year from now. Love their two sophomores, Brian Crawford and John Collins. And you can't talk about college basketball in the state of North Carolina without talking about Duke, who obviously is the top team in college basketball heading into the season. One thing that I was thinking about last week, we have seen Mike Krzyzewski the past 2 years, and we've really seen it throughout the history of Duke's program, opt to play smaller and more skilled at the four spot. 2 years ago, he did it with Justice Winslow. Last year, he did it with Brandon Ingram. And even though Duke would love to have Harry Giles healthy, and again, if Harry Giles is healthy, he's far and away the best NBA prospect in college basketball. If he's not healthy, it will open the door for Duke to do what they've done the past 2 seasons and have a skilled guy at power forward, and that guy would be Jason Tatum. So even if Duke doesn't have Harry Giles, all of a sudden, Emile Jefferson becomes your 5-man as a 5th-year senior. And again, I want to remind people that Emile Jefferson was playing as well as any player on Duke's team last year before he got hurt in December. And again, Emile Jefferson was not the NBA prospect that Brandon Ingram was, and he might not have been producing as much as Grayson Allen was in the backcourt, but Emile Jefferson was Duke's most valuable player last season. So I think if you don't have Harry Giles, Jefferson could slide to the 5. You could have a perimeter featuring Grayson Allen, Matt Jones, and Luke Kennard with freshman Frank Jackson off the bench. And that allows Jason Tatum to slide to power forward, a position where I think he will absolutely annihilate opposing power forwards at the 4 spot. I am on the road again. I'll see Pittsburgh, Penn State, West Virginia, and some others this week, going to Western Pennsylvania. And again, I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast. Again, we're coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Content you can't get anywhere else. We want to be your Bible for college basketball season. Would like to thank Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard for joining the College Hoops Today podcast. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.